The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, Big Z here. It is June, late June, as a matter of fact. Not a lot of news going on, so what we're going to do is a way too early prediction of what or who will make the Detroit Lions roster for this upcoming 2021-2022 season. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Sit back, grab your Kool-Aid. It's time for the pod. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back. It is late June. June 21st is when we're recording this. And what we will be covering on this podcast is we're going to be talking a little bit too early, probably, but nonetheless, always something that's on our minds. And that is the predictions for the, or I should say, predictions for the Detroit Lions depth chart. So a way too early prediction of the Detroit Lions depth chart. And it'll get us more just talking about the players and who's on the roster, like we've already been doing, but you know, maybe a little more depth and cover some new things. Anyways, I'm Big Z. We got some of the Blue Kool-Aid crew. We got UJ.
Hello, everybody.
And Rud Dog.
Yo.
And then you might see him chiming in every once in a while, but our producer, Kid J, is sitting in the background. But he might chime in here every once in a while as
Kid J.
Well, he's a crush it producing the podcast. And exactly. So, you know, gentlemen, we have a depth chart to go over here, and it is majorly overhauled, especially in the defensive side, no doubt. But there's been a lot of additions at wide receiver, the quarterback, obviously, so we'll go through a lot of that. My question to you guys is, do you want to start with defense or offense first?
Go with offense.
Yeah, why not? That should be easy.
All right. Yeah, but let's start with offense. I thought UJ would have said defense first just because he always says he wants defense to go on the field first during games.
I do, always.
Everyone knows.
You know you never take the ball first.
Yeah, I would agree
unless
with that.
It's overtime.
Yeah, but that's everyone a knows different story.
Someone should tell Marty Mortenwig that, right, UJ?
Yeah, no one told him before that, unfortunately. That's too bad.
All right, so let's start on the offensive side of the ball. If you guys don't recall, Matt Stafford is no longer the quarterback of the Detroit Lions.
What? When did this happen?
It happened a few months ago.
Wow.
But anyways, we got a guy named Jared Goff at quarterback. Ooh. That we haven't talked about enough yet on this podcast. the other two on the roster are currently at quarterback are Tim Boyle, formerly of the Green Bay Packers from the University of Connecticut, and then David Blau, of the Browns for a little bit that we acquired for a seventh-round pick and started some games for us in the past. So that's three quarterbacks. My question to you guys is, do we roll with two or three quarterbacks here? And do you see us trading for one, or this is the group? Let's explore that a little bit. It is a big position. We've had a lot of issues with the backup quarterback in the past 3 years. I'll start with you, UJ.
All right. My early prediction on that is that we're going to go with two quarterbacks. We're going to go with Goff and Boyle, and they're going to put Blau on the practice squad. Hope no one claims them. They have so many needs in other positions. I just don't think they're going to roll with three. I just don't think they have that luxury right now this year. So I think they're going to go with the two.
Rud Dog.
Yeah, same as UJ. Maybe we'll hold on to Blau on the practice squad, or if he gets one of those like great preseasons where people want to trade for him for some late round picks, I wouldn't mind that. But I think this Boyle has a little more upside. He's got a little more prototypical build. Might be a, you know, actually give us a chance in games. I know Blau wasn't terrible, but, and I liked him a little bit, but I think this Boyle sounds like he's a little more promising. So, yeah, two. And like UJ said, not enough, too many needs elsewhere.
You guys don't think David Blau has a chance to beat Tim Boyle as the backup on this team?
Sure, he has a chance.
Sure.
But, you know,
like one in a million?
Not a little
at
better than that.
Two in a million.
Hey, when he played, was it 2 years ago when he played a lot in that one season? He actually showed signs of being a good quarterback. You know, yeah. He's young. He's developing. I'm not trying to sell the kid short.
We all wanted to see him out there over Chase Daniel. I know that much.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. But
David Blau had a fantastic start to his career. The first touchdown, the first pass was the bomb to Kenny Galladay against the Bears on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's hard to have a better start to your career than that. The game went downhill slowly after that. But or no, they were up 14-0. Then it went downhill after that. But there's been a lot of good reports coming out about Tim Boyle. That make him seem like he can be a competent quarterback. I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with his mobility, but reports about his arm, at least, are solid. You know, but this is in comparison to what they've seen out of Chase Daniel from being a backup the last couple of years, which is and Chase Daniel, like we've been saying for a while now, is a terrible backup quarterback, and he still remains in the league somehow.
He's one of those guys who just floats around because he's got a great football IQ and is good in film room, I think.
I was like that good in the film room. Like, I want a guy who's good in the film room, right? Like,
that's the coach's job.
I'd rather have a guy who's good on the football field, personally.
Right. So we don't need to spend too much time in a quarterback position.
Yeah.
Group.
I think we know who's starting there.
I do think they roll with two, though. I do think they'll expand.
I predict Jared Goff will be the starter.
It's a bold prediction.
I'm being bold. I'm going on all in.
No kidding.
So let's go over to running back now. So you have DeAndre Swift, Jamal Williams, Jamar Jefferson, Dredrick Mills on the roster here. What do we feel about the running back position? And do they bring in someone else like a Todd Gurley that's been rumored for a while?
There's a good question. I'm getting the feeling that Gurley is not going to be with us. Whatever's going on with him, I just don't think that's going to happen personally. I think they're going to roll the three running backs, Swift, Jamal Williams, and Jamar Jefferson. And I think don't sleep on the Jamar Jefferson kid. I think this kid's got something. So I think we'll have three young, healthy stud running backs. It's going to be a great running back room.
So, go ahead, Red Dog.
I mean, Dedrick Mills might have a chance to snag that third spot. I also think it's going to be three. He offers something a little bit. He's a little bigger, more of a little greater. I mean, you got that Michael Warren, a couple bigger guys. It depends, you know, if they don't want just all smaller guys. I know Jamal Williams is a bigger guy too, but these guys are even bigger than him weight-wise, so. Could just be a different, depends on what they're looking for. But we did spend a pretty high pick on Jamar. So, yeah, those three, I think that'll be the most likely.
Did you say we spent a high pick on Jamar Jefferson? It wasn't a high pick. He was a seventh round.
No, he's a seventh round pick.
You're right, but we drafted him. Let's just say these guys are undrafted free agents and guys who haven't been able to stick to a team so far.
Yeah.
A draft pick's high.
Dedrick Mills, if you're not familiar, undrafted rookie free agent, 5'11", 220 out of Nebraska. That's a little bit about him. But I do think they are going to like what they see at Jamar Jefferson. Again, there's a lot of positive reports coming out, but again, this is training camp. Not a lot of hitting goes on, so you never know. DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams definitely locked in at the roster. Jamar Jefferson, mm-hmm. I think, will be there. They also just signed Warren Michael. Maybe that's a name that's thrown out there. Three seems like a good number unless one of these guys, like a Dredrick Mills, finds a spot on a special teams. Like we don't know that yet.
You're right. Z. There's a good chance one of these guys, if they like him enough, they're going to put him on the special team. They'll find some use for him. So, and plus we got Jason Kabinda. Let's remember.
That's what we're gonna do next. Fullback. That is a list of one. Jason Kabinda. But it could be, you know, if we look in the tight end group, like we were talking about, I think in the last podcast with Elise Mack or Brock Wright? Can these guys be the fullback and like have a little more flexibility? And then like a Jason Kabinda who plays strictly fullback. There's not a lot of those in the league now. The question is, does Jason Kabinda make this roster as a fullback? Yes or no?
Well, Z, what's your personal opinion? Come on.
I'm going to say no, unfortunately for him. I do think they are going to like, but man, it's tough to say just because I know Anthony Lynn really likes the ground and pound type offense. I would need to go back and look at what he's done with the Chargers. I think I'm pretty sure they carried a fullback for a while. So actually, I'm going to change my mind. I'm sorry. I should have been more confident coming into this with my answer, and then I'm changing it right on the spot. So I'm going to say yes, he actually does make it. But if not, it's because one of the tight ends stepped up in training camp and took over that fullback spot, and they can also play tight end as well, so a little more roster flexibility.
Yeah, that's a fair statement because that's kind of what I believe, too. I think Kaminda's going to make it because of his experience. But, there's a chance one of these tight ends could do it, like Brock Wright or somebody like that.
Has that Charlie Tampin all been thrown around as a potential tight end or a fullback? He just seems to fit the build a little more than some of these other guys at 6'3", like 245. That's a little more classic fullback build.
What's that name again?
I haven't heard. Charlie Tampinow, he's a one-year guy.
Oh, right.
Out of Portland. I think he was on our practice squad last year, wasn't he? I remember seeing him.
Right.
I don't know if I'm even pronouncing that name right. It's probably Tomapu.
Tomapu, yeah. Tomapu.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah,
no, it's not.
He's been around the league a little bit like you said, out of Portland State, 6'2", 244. Yeah, but this is his fourth team in the one year. So that's what I meant by.
Wow. He's not making the rosters. Is what I'm
saying. It would be a long shot for sure. But he is on there.
He just fits the mold a little more of a classic fullback. That's all. The only reason I brought him up.
I gotcha. Did you give your prediction? Will Kabinda be on the roster? You said yes, right?
I think he will be on the roster. Yes, I do.
I do too.
Okay. So, naturally, let's move on then to the tight end position group then.
Okay.
What do we think there? TJ Hockenson making the roster?
I think he gets cut after two practices.
Yeah, he's a lock. Him and Fells are a lock to me. It's going to be the third tight end for that, and I think they're going to want to have a third tight end. I'm going with the Notre Dame kid. That's what I'm going with. Brock Wright. I don't know. He's got a feeling about this kid. I'm going with him. Big, tough, strong. He's going to surprise people. So I'm just going with him. He's my guy.
They got a lot of bodies in camp. So it's going to be interesting to see. I like the kid from Notre Dame as well. Call me a little bit of a homer there. But I think, like you just said, locks for Hawk and Fells. And then I'm going to call Brock Wright for the third tight end spot.
I gotcha. And just going back really quick, the Chargers did not carry a fullback the last 2 years. So I think that might be an indication that they don't. But then I look at the Saints roster, they carried one. So it'll be interesting to see which philosophy mixes better. Is the Sean Payton one more, or is Dan Campbell leaning more towards the Anthony Lynn running philosophy?
I think they're going to do whatever they have to do to get this run game moving. Mm-hmm. If they feel this fullback and someone's going to help it, that they're because this it's got to be priority one for this offense to make this running game work. It has to be.
Right. I think Kabinda will be as much part of the deciding factor as anything. If he looks like he is going to add enough value, lead blocking to the point where they don't just have their third tight end sometimes lead through the hole or something like that, then I think he'll stick around. But if Kabinda's not putting out in camp, then I think they won't have a problem going with maybe either an extra tight end or just no fullback.
Right. So you have TJ Hockenson. You have Darren Fells. Elise Mack has gotten a lot of, at least it seems like they like him a lot to bring him in. But I just see a lot of two tight end sets. That's why I think they're going to roll with four tight ends here.
I think tight end. Mac was the Notre Dame guy too, so I'll be happy either way.
I just see them using a lot of two tight end sets. They're going to run a lot of play action out of that. One tight end goes down, you're going to need that assurance that you know, you have multiple backups.
That's a bold prediction there, Z. Four tight ends.
That is bold.
I just think they got some athletes in here, and I could see them carrying four because I think a guy like – I know we've said
– Well, what four?
Hockenson. Since it's our way too early predictions, this is okay. So exactly. Hockenson, Fells. I will go Brock Wright, and I'll go Elise Mack as well. I think those four make the roster, and that's because I think
okay.
And I'll stick with my previous prediction that Kabinda doesn't make it because one of those guys can also play fullback. These guys will have roster that flexibility that I was talking about.
Versatility.
In addition to playing special teams as well for being the backup tight ends.
Well, in support of your argument, see that the tight end has become an extremely valuable position in the NFL lately. So,
right.
You know, just from that angle alone, I can see them maybe keeping the four. But
The bad part about this is that if we go with that prediction, then two of them are rookie tight ends playing backup, which, I mean, that's where you want them to be, is not starting probably as a rookie tight end. But at the same time, that's a big learning curve, and one of those guys, like Fells or Hawkins.
Yeah, but look at it
down,
this way. They're rebuilding
rough.
Come on, they're rebuilding mode.
Retooling, UJ, retooling.
I'm sorry. Did I say that wrong?
Gosh, come on.
Gosh darn it. Retooling. You know, so they're going to go with the young, most promising talent, you know?
Fair enough.
He's at least...
I mean, go ahead. No, I'm done.
Is Elise Mack a rookie? I have him as a one-year guy on the Lions website.
Yeah, but he has 1 year of NFL experience from New Orleans. But, I mean, he's not a lot of snaps. He's 24 years old. He's pretty much like a rookie in terms of his playing time. So,
sure. Two inexperienced guys either way.
So the tight end group will be one to really watch, especially the third and fourth string. Heading into camp later this year, for sure. Let's move on now. Let's move on to the offensive line. I can say with pretty good confidence that we know what the starting line will be in terms of Frank Ragnow at center, left guard Jonah Jackson, right guard Big V, then right tackle Sewell, and left tackle Taylor Decker. It's the depth behind those guys that's the more interesting conversation and who we keep. Who's the guy? I don't know why I'm drawing a blank right now on the lineman that we've had for the past few years be
Crosby?
Backup.
Crosby?
No, not Crosby.
Nelson?
And not Ibushi. Although Ibushi is gone, thank God.
Matt Nelson?
No, not Matt Nelson. There's one more. I can't remember him for the life of me right now. I'm going to have to look it up
Dan
while we talk.
Skipper?
It wasn't...
Skipper.
Is he still on the team?
No, he's not still on the team. We'll bring it up later, but
I think your prediction is wrong.
I mean, let's talk about the depth though. First of all, do we think Crosby will be there? That you know,
wait, you're making a big assumption here that the starting five is what you said.
That's true.
Big assumption.
Is
I'm
it a big assumption?
On one position? I'd say right guard's gonna be Logan Stenberg.
No way.
I love it.
No way. He would have to make...
Don't say no way. This guy's young. He's hungry. He's a beast.
I'm not downing... He's young and hungry.
Destroy people. He's going to crush people. They're going to have to like pick him out of the field with shovels because they're going to be flat.
Just so our listeners know, is this your real prediction or your fun prediction?
No, this is my prediction. Stay with it. He's a beast. The Kentucky monster.
I would love it if that happened.
Yeah.
Though I think it's going to probably be more likely Big V.
Okay, anyway. I mean, what about the backups though? That's where the real question is. So, does Tyrell Crosby stay in the roster before the season starts? Yes or no?
Just dismissing UJ's prediction.
No, I think Crosby.
I didn't dismiss it.
I think you keep Crosby for sure if you can. I mean, they may still try to trade him if they get a good deal, but I think he stays on the team. And he's a valuable backup, very good tackle.
I don't know that Matt Nelson. I could see, I could see both of those guys making the team. You need two backup tackles, I would think.
I definitely think Nelson too.
I think Nelson and Crosby are likely to make it as the backup tackles. That's my prediction there. Guard's a whole different story, man. It's a lot. It's not as obvious after you get past the like. Not to diss UJ's prediction on Logan Stenberg, but I'm not sure he'll even make the team.
Kenny Wiggins. No. Kenny Wiggins is the name I was trying to remember.
Kenny Wiggins.
He would just be constantly plugged in there all the time. It was very frustrating. He is no longer there either.
Weren't they rotating him in with
Glasgow?
Yeah, Glasgow.
Yeah, one of the weirdest.
That was the weirdest thing ever.
But yeah. The rest of our roster right now is Dan Skipper, Matt Nelson. I do think Matt Nelson did enough last year, and he's still so new to position that he stays around. Yeah. I think they want to keep Tyrell Crosby. He's such a the depth at offensive line is.
Yeah.
I think if you lose him, it's so thin. I don't want to lose it. I would really rather keep him, especially our luck with offensive line, Big V's injury history.
Right.
I would really, really want to see him stay. So
yeah,
I agree. Yeah. I think, like I said, I think both those guys will stick. I think guard is the harder situation to sort of derive who the backup will be. There's not as many obvious names in that pool. You got Stenberg there, but we don't really know where he's at in his development, and he had a long way to go technique wise and polish in his game. So I'd like to see him at least make the team as a backup, but the rest of these guys, I don't really know anything about. They're a bunch of new guys for the most part.
Yeah, Evan Brown, he's been in the league a couple of years just as a journeyman guard / center. He may be able to stick. It's very likely he could pick up some veteran that gets cut around the league.
Yeah,
too,
that could definitely
which
happen.
Is always the case, but I mean, this is our current roster prediction. So let's move on now. Let's move on to wide receiver.
Okay.
Since this is an early prediction, we don't need to dwell on all these too much, I don't think.
No.
So wide receiver, this is the fascinating one. Just because it is so wide open. There's not a lot of money tied up in this group either, so it's not like if they keep one of these guys, it's a monetary decision necessarily, besides maybe like an Amon-Ra St. Brown, who is a high draft pick. I would consider high fourth or higher.
Yes.
So yeah, Brashad Perryman. We think he makes it, right? I don't think there's any doubt.
I do think so for sure.
Tyrell Williams, I would say he's a lock pretty much. I don't know how he wouldn't be.
I don't know he's a lock, but I think he makes it though.
Why wouldn't he be a lock?
Just because of the past history and things that have gone on with him, injuries and such. I mean, by all appearances right now, he seems good to go and everything. So, but neither him or Perryman have lit it up in OTAs or minicamps. So, however, we have such a need there. These guys are going to be on the team, I think.
Well, he's got the most experience with Rashard Perryman. So,
yeah. But I they're both going to be on the team.
I agree.
But to me, the one lock at receiver is Cephas, Quentin Cephas. He's a dead lock.
I agree. One
of our top receivers.
I think he will be. I'm making a prediction. He'll be the number one receiver.
I don't know how. I mean, okay. I'll go back a little bit and say that there is a monetary thing with Tyrell Williams because he has a $4.7 million base salary for this year. That'd be a pretty big cut to take.
Yeah.
I think he's making a roster. No doubts about it. I mean, Quintez Cephas, yeah, it seems like he'll make the roster. I would say he's less of a lock than the other two, for sure.
I don't know about that. Why? What have those guys done in their careers to suggest they're a lock? I mean, they've been around the league.
What has Cephas done to say for you guys to say
he's young,
lock?
Man.
He's a young, blooming talent.
Yeah.
A draft pick. I don't want to misspeak and call him a high draft pick. I don't remember what round we got him in, but.
And I'll tell you what, for a rookie, he had a really decent season last year for a rookie.
And he's going to the Hall of Fame, so I just don't see him getting cut.
Yeah. You don't want to cut those Hall of Fame guys.
I know you do. I mean, but you have Perryman, you have Williams, you have Amon-Ra St. Brown. That's three already. And then you have Cephas, you have Victor Bolden, who's made a lot of waves. In training camp as well. So, I mean, that's
Cephas
five
is a much
receivers.
More lock than Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Oh, Amon-Ra St. Brown is a total lock.
I completely agree.
Is more of a lock.
No.
Cephas is more of a lock.
Is that just because of your biased love for him?
And I'll say for one reason.
Because of my eyes, what I've seen.
One reason only is this coaching staff drafted him, and they didn't draft Cephas. So if anything, that makes him more of a lock than Cephas.
Well, I don't. He's not a guaranteed future Hall of Famer. So, no, honestly, I wasn't joking. I predict that Cephas will be the number one receiver this year on the roster. He'll be in the depth chart. He'll be number one. I think Perriman or Tyre Williams will be number two and three in some order. Hmm. So I think he's that good. We'll see, but
it'll be
too early prediction.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with this wide receiver group this year, because they went with some speed with Perriman. Williams can be have a lot of speed if he's healthy. Cephas doesn't have that speed necessarily. Neither does Amon-Ra St. Brown or Victor Bolden. You also have to throw in there Geronimo Allison, who's back after being on the COVID. You know, he opted out of COVID last year. He's a possibility to get on the roster too. So I'm just saying, after you get past Perriman, Williams, and Amon-Ra St. Brown, that's already three wide receivers I would say are locks of this roster, and then maybe there's two spots for wide receiver, and I wouldn't say Cephas is necessarily a lock like those.
Well, Damian Ratley was, Khalif Raymond is a little speedster who probably is going to be in the kick return hunt, so he's got a little better chances of special teams.
Right, but I think he's just because of his size, he's going to have to show something
on kick return.
Well, other than kick return.
I mean, but he's a speedster, though. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, you got to remember, Goff had some of his best success thrown to a guy like Brandon Cooks, who is not big either, and he was just small and fast. So I'm just saying, I'm not saying he's guaranteed to be like Brandon Cooks or anything like that, but
no.
I'm just saying a guy like that can have a role in an offense that wants speed.
Yes, and I'm saying he has to show something in order to make the roster.
Though, all these guys do. Like, yeah, you can put you know, credence in draft position and stuff like that, but that's the nature of what our receiving position at this time is, that everyone is up for grabs. Everything's up for grabs right now. Everyone's battling. There's no established number one. There's no established number two or three, and so on. Like, this is all going to be forged out in camp. So this is a wide open battle, and the best are going to come out on top. So, I mean, that's the awesome thing about this battle that will be fun to watch. There's no guarantees on how this thing's going to fall out. It's going to be shown on the field in camp. So that's exciting. I think that's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, it will be for sure. My one dark horse for this group, though, is Tom Kennedy. He's been on the practice squad the last 2 years, I think. I don't know. Yeah, I read a couple of good things about him in camp, so I'm not going to put this kid out of the equation just yet either.
He's the Jace Billingsley of this wide receiver group.
Yeah, he is.
The little white guy that's hanging around
that
on
mold
the practice
of the
squad.
Danny Amendola, the Brian Edelman.
The little white receiver who could.
Well, or who couldn't.
I have a question. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Depends on who you are. But I have a question. So how many, though? What do you guys see? Six or seven receivers? What do you think the final number they're going to carry?
I would guess maybe five.
Only five? Wow.
On the active roster.
Well, yeah. On the 50. Yeah.
I mean, I would say I would think five, too.
But I'm talking about not active roster. We're talking about, like, they carry on the team.
That's the active roster. Right?
Oh.
53-man roster. That's your team.
Plus guys you can activate, right?
They got to be in the practice squad or something after that. If they're not on the 53-man roster. So.
Who was it? It was like our third string running back or fourth string running back last year was constantly inactive, and they reactivated him. Was he on the practice squad when he was inactive? I felt like game day roster was cut down. Like, you could be on the team but not be active for game day. Maybe I'm totally misunderstanding this, but.
No, it's a 53 active roster.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so only five, huh? I thought they'd carry more than that.
Let's go to defense, boys.
Like six.
You want to go to defense?
I do.
Let's
I think
defense.
I think we've kind of said enough about the offense. A lot of openness there, so it's going to be a lot of competition. But let's check out defense.
All right, let's do it then, shall we?
Let's.
So let's start at defensive tackle, shall we? I think Levi Onwuzurike is a guarantee lock just because of where he's drafted in the second round. Ali McNeil as well. Will we agree there? it would be surprising if neither of those guys made the roster, right? I don't know how they would.
That
would be shocking.
Michael Brockers as well, who we literally traded for and took on a big salary.
So you're going to be starting two rookies there, Big Z. Two rookies?
Brockers. Brockers is probably the starter. One of those guys. We're just talking about who's making a roster here. That's what we're talking about.
And we
got
to remember on this roster, we're talking about a 3-4, right? So
yeah,
these guys are more like DNs than they are just true D tackles too. So that's something to consider.
Well, Ali McNeil is definitely a D tackle, I would say.
Well, he's a nose tackle for sure. So are we talking? Yeah, I'm just saying. So if we're talking just front, three.
Yeah, I'm talking about a guy that's going to be playing nose or the three technique most likely here. That the lines up outside the guard and rushes. There's scenarios where these guys might line up outside, but most of the time they're going to be inside.
Well, I'm picturing Brockers to be lining up as a five technique a lot of the time over the tackle, two gapping. That's what 3-4.
He might be.
DNs or D tackle. They're saying 3-4 with our previous DNs lining up like edge guys, outside linebackers in a 3-4. So that would suggest generally your D tackle, your traditional DNs on the inside will be bigger guys that'll line up in five techniques over the tackles. And you'll have a true nose tackle over the center. So I mean, that then again, Patricia kept saying 3-4, and we had basically a 4-5. It didn't make any sense, but I'm just saying it depends on what they eventually settle on. But I think someone's going to be lining up in five techniques, and Brockers has that proper size. They like longer guys like him who are 6'5", and so he'd be expected to two gap there on certain plays. But I do expect, with all that being said, some of these guys like Brockers and Onwuzurike will also line up at three techniques, shading the outside shoulder of the guard at various times, depending on the look. So I mean, I'm just saying, you got to consider what this new scheme is for how these guys are going to be used.
Right.
And I think five technique is going to be part of that.
And I think we get in that conversation a little later as we see training camp and how they start utilizing some people. But
for sure,
as far as who's going to make this roster, I mentioned those three. Now you have Deshaun Hand, Pennacini, Nick Williams, Kevin Strong. How many D tackles are we carrying here?
That is a good question.
I could sort of
where this comes in.
Nick Williams, there's Deshaun Cornell, who has done nothing since he's gotten the Lions, so I wouldn't consider him. But the more interesting question is Nick Williams, Deshaun Hand, or John Pennacini. Yeah. How many of those?
Assuming Hand is healthy, he makes the team, I think. I think Nick Williams, I think, is going to make the team, too. I think Strong might be the odd man out this time.
What about Pennacini?
Pennacini, I think, makes it. I do.
So
I do. They're going to have two nose-type tackles. Pennacini's great run stuffer. Yes. He's not a great penetrator, but Aleem is a great penetrator. And they're going to need nose tackles in this defense. And the only really two on the team is them. I know Brockers or someone could switch over if they had to, but the traditional big dude, 330-pound guy, that we got two of those guys. I think they're both make it on this team.
I don't think Pennacini is going to make the roster, if I had to guess.
You don't like him.
So
what did he ever do to you, Big Z?
Here's the thing.
Didn't like him last year either.
What I was just talking about our scheme lineup.
No.
When you look at it, if you don't look at it as D tackles, I'm picturing something like six guys where you'll have two five technique type guys who can also line up as three techniques. You'll have two true nose tackles. The only competition for nose tackle really is Aleem McNeil, Pennacini, and there is one guy.
Who, Charles? Charles Harris from the Falcons.
Charles,
former D tackle. And then you have Brian Price.
Brian Price was the other one. Where's Charles Harris? Isn't even on the website.
Well, I mean, he's definitely signed with the Lions, at least.
Did that, was that a recent signing? I must have missed it, I guess. But anyway,
not that recent.
So I'm just saying, you're going to have at least two true nose tackles on the roster. I think Penasini's going to make it as one of those two guys. He's just so stout. He's not going to pass rush very much, but he's very stout at the point of attack. And those guys are just meant to eat space. The best ones can add a little pass rush, but you know, the minimum you want out of a good nose tackle on a 3-4 is he holds up that center and two gaps him. And I think Penasini has shown that he's capable of doing that. So, I mean, you know, this is too early. Camp will bear it out, but I think he makes it. I also think Hand makes it along with Williams and
just
that's
from
kind of it.
Just from like
second string.
Just from what we drafted with Aleem McNeil and Levi Wunzirike, just more and with Hand's athleticism. I don't think Penasini's going to fit what they want out of this defense. That's why I don't think he's going to make it. I bet he gets cut and the Patriots sign him. If I had to make a too early prediction, that's what I think is going to happen. I just don't think he fits what they want out of their defense going forward. I don't think he's a super athletic freak like they have shown. Like they
you may be right.
The middle.
You may be right. Because they do want interior pass rush, and he does not fit that bill.
I think Mike. I don't think he had a good year last year. The whole defense was bad, and I don't think
he was a rookie.
Yeah, I think maybe he stood out just because the defense was so bad, but he stood out as not being as bad. You know, like he wasn't that bad last year.
He wasn't. And he did things better than I thought he was capable of doing. He impressed me based on my expectations. I had low expectations based on his athletic traits, but he stood out a few times chasing the ball a little outside of his box.
All right,
I mean, sorry.
No, I was going to say, let's move on now to the defensive ends.
Okay. Yeah.
So, defensive end, we have Trey Flowers, Romeo Okwara. I think those are locks.
Yep,
definitely.
For certain. I'm not going to throw the linebackers in there like Okwara's brother right now.
No, we got to throw him in there.
They're going to play the same position, probably.
Yeah, you got to throw Julian in
there. You wouldn't consider him outside linebacker category? That's what I
would say.
That's what's confusing here is they're saying these guys are going to line up like outside linebackers in a 3-4, dropping into coverage from time to time. But
I think right now, for the sake of this argument, we should just consider them defensive ends and leave it at that. Then, because, you know, the linebacker group is actually somewhat separate from these guys.
So
let's just...
Let's throw in Okwara, Julian Okwara, the Okwara brothers then.
Yeah, for sure.
Austin Bryant.
He's hung
around for a while with that shoulder.
I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling it.
I wonder how much insurance money he's gotten, with this guy. I don't know how. I've always wondered, like, if you're injured like an Austin Bryant or like Sean Cornell was last year. Do they get the full salary? I've never understood how that works. We'll need to get somebody on here.
I think they do.
I don't know. There's not a lot of competition at the position currently on the roster, unless you start to merge the linebacker room a little bit with guys like Jamie Collins who can line up on the edge.
Right.
And
yeah.
Or Barnes did some of that in college, but I don't see him doing that here.
Those are the two true DNs, plus maybe Austin Bryant, and that we can say. So.
Let's throw in the
linebackers now then too. So we have Jalen Reeves-Maybin, Derek Barnes, Jamie Collins, Robert McCray, Tavai, Sean Hamilton, Anthony Pittman, and then Alex Anzalone as well.
He's got the best hair of anybody I've ever seen.
It is flowing. He's got the flow going for sure. Tavai's got the flow too. You don't think the flow is quite the same?
Well, his is more smooth and luxurious. Like you'd more want to run your fingers through it than like Tavai's is sort of like
rugged,
kinkier, I guess. I don't know.
Anyways,
what the word is, but he uses Prell. I think he uses Prell. You should do commercials.
So I mean, we had a lot of conversations 2 weeks ago or last week about Tavai. Does he make this roster? Yes or no? You're way too early prediction.
I think he does make the roster. I'm not sure he'll start, but I think he'll make the roster.
This is
UJ?
An ultimate edge guy right here, like riding that fence, man. He's going to be so close. I think he makes it, though. I do think he makes it. We'll see. I mean, just as far as starting, he's not going to start. I think it'll be Collins and Anzalone. And I see. I think we'll start to see a lot of Derek Barnes as the season goes on.
Right. And if I had to predict, I would say, I guess, just looking at the current roster, that yes, he might, but it'll be like the last one to make the roster. It'll be
There's not a lot of competition in that room. I mean, you got this guy, Reggie Gilbert, who I don't know much about, but he's a 3-year pro. He's a little bigger too, like Tavai. I mean, there's just not a lot. Like Devontae Beckett, he's like a mini man at 5'11", 220, a rookie. I just don't know. I mean, he looked good in college playing at Marshall, but I mean,
Maybin makes it mainly because he's a great special teamer.
But, and I think he'll find a better role in this defense, at least if you read about Alex Anzalone and their plans for him, I think Reeves maybe kind of fits a similar mold there as well. I don't think he's ever been given that. It sucks for Reeves Maven too. He was in the Patricia defense the last few years because he never was a linebacker that was supposed to fit in that system.
It's got to be encouraging to him though that they gave him a 2-year contract.
Yeah, and
that they must see enough in him to like him. So I think we may see a little more of him on the field.
I could see him finding a role as like a nickel linebacker, sort of like how they used Hillebrew for that short period of time, and then they just stopped doing that for whatever dumb reason. But like, he's got that smaller build. He's a good mover. He can cover decent, and so I could see him being thrown in certain packages where they want an extra linebacker instead of a safety, but who can cover a little better.
Yeah.
Definitely. Derek Barnes, we have a lot of hopes for him.
I could see him starting by like midway through the season. Sort of like Levy did. I think he'll get early reps.
Like it's been for the past few years. It'll be a very interesting group to see how it turns out. Hopefully, it won't be like the past few years in terms of production.
Hey, Big Z, just to throw back to the previous position real quick, because you mentioned Charles Harris as our nose tackle.
He's a DN.
But he's a DN.
Right.
He's only
250 pounds. Yeah, that's my bad.
I mean, veteran presence at DN who might, you know, knock off like Austin Bryant or something. But let's go back. I just wanted to bring that up because I noticed that.
No, thank you for pointing that out. Let's go to cornerback now. We have Amani Warrior. Obviously, you have Okuda. But then you have Quentin Dunbar as well. Mike Ford, he's still sticking around.
Yes.
A few others, Jerry Jacobs, Elijah Holder, AJ Parker. If he is listed as a cornerback on here, if he Belufonwu, the third rounder that we drafted. So what do we think here at corner? Although I don't know where if he's going to play. I don't know if he's cornerback or wherever he's going to fit here, but
I wouldn't be surprised if Awori. Are we just doing roster or are we talking about starting lineup?
Roster.
Okay. I think if he's going to definitely make the roster, as a safety or a cornerback, whatever it turns out to be. I know he's just a DB on the roster right now.
Yeah, and you have Okuda.
He's too gifted. Yes, Okuda.
I think Quentin.
Those are locks.
I think Quentin Dunbar is going to make it. I really like him.
I think he'll actually. I could see him actually starting across from Awori early in the season. I mean, he's got that veteran. Him and Awori are like probably our two most tested vets now at cornerback.
Right. As long as Awori is not left to his own devices like he was against Devontae Adams in the game in Detroit last year. That the first play of the game was so bad.
True.
I mean, he was in no man's land.
Look, this is a new
like
stat.
Like a lot of
everything's
going to
be different. Come on.
If you go on Pride of Detroit, they had an article about how Okuda was left in like the worst position of any cornerback throughout the season on a regular basis. If, in comparison to other cornerbacks, in terms of how much help he had, they truly left Okuda and their cornerbacks in general on an island. That was kind of what the Patriots have done with like Stephon Gilmore, but.
Yeah,
and others in the past, but it was a rookie cornerback. They put way too much faith in.
With no pass rush. Yeah,
right. And a nagging injury that they refused to address. Anyways, getting off topic a little bit there, but
Warren Elder,
Corn Elder. Yeah.
Did you mention Corn Elder?
I did not
mention
Corn Elder. He could stick around, I guess.
Yeah.
Great name. I mean, great name.
We don't really. What about? I mean, he looks like a sort of like a potential for the Nickelback. I mean, we don't have like a proven nickel corner.
Right. Really it's so roster. Hard to make these predictions without knowing how our defense operates yet. Under the new
true. Oh, absolutely.
Coaches. So
that's why these are way too early.
Way too early predictions.
Predictions.
So we have two more spots before we go to the special teams, which will go fast. So free safety and strong safety, but really we can just put these two together probably.
Safeties.
Tracy Walker's a lock. Mm-hmm. He's a lock, absolute lock.
Yes.
Harris, that's going to be the interesting one. But I expect a better performance out of him with this new coaching staff. I mean, this kid obviously produced
can't get
in
worse.
College.
It can't get
he's
much
been
worse.
Horrible in his first 2 years at the Lions. He's been horrible, but
yeah.
I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt with this new coaching staff. This kid's gonna turn it around. I think I'll make the team.
That's drinking you're drinking the Kool-Aid, UJ. I love
that's what
it.
I do, man. I drink a lot of Kool-Aid, all right.
How many safeties do you think we'll carry?
I think Iffy's gonna ultimately be like a safety type.
He can be a backup there, maybe.
I agree.
I think that's where he's gonna exceed. That's why I was surprised to see him listed as a cornerback right now.
Yeah.
But I think
they have him as a DB on the official website.
Oh, I got
so
you.
Sort of that like undecided there basically.
Yeah, and then CJ Moore.
I'd like to see CJ Moore stick around.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, he's pretty reliable.
He's been scrappy.
The other names in this list: Bobby Price, Dean Marlowe, Godwin Igbuki, Igwebuki, Jalen Elliott, D'Angelo Amos. I do not know a lot about those people, to be quite honest with you. So
Dean Marlowe was our biggest signing at the position. A somewhat proven vet. I don't know. I can see him starting across from Tracy Walker, who I think is guaranteed to be starting this year. Maybe not guaranteed, but
I think four. I think they go with four at the position, four or five. But when you say four or five, that's also like dime and nickel packages. So
I think Mike Ford, I know we mentioned him. I think he makes the roster too.
Yeah, I would agree with that, UJ. He's been a really reliable, like, emergency starter,
and he's gotten better. I mean, the more time he's been, he just seems to improve all the time. So yeah, I definitely think he's gonna be there.
Do you know much about Bobby Price? I'm just looking at his build, 6'3", 215. Only a second year pro, or well, this will be his third year, I guess. I just don't know much about him because they might like that size if he's a decent player.
I do not know much about him, Rudd Dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, me either. Yeah, this is a pretty interesting room of nobodies.
Yeah, the defense, it's going to have some work, and we have those extra first-round picks in the future to address maybe some of these issues. But hopefully we can scheme around it this year and win that Super Bowl.
It's an interesting jumbo of talent they put together on this team so far, but I think there's enough talent there to put out – a pretty respectable team on the field if they can coach them up.
Agree.
Definitely agree with that. I mean, the coaching staff is strong, so if I do think they
there's
are a few
there.
Elite talents away from making this an elite defense, but they can make it manageable. And also, you have to think about it like I think this really starts on the offensive side of the ball, where if they can control the run game and limit the amount of time that the defense is on the field.
Yeah,
that'll be the big difference maker throughout the year.
Absolutely. If we're going to make an all too early prediction, though, I'm going to predict that our defense finishes, I'd say, but somewhere between 15 and 20 in the league. I think we go from rock bottom to somewhere in the middle 15 to 20 range.
The arrow's either going to stay even or go up. So with our
defense, well, I
can't go down.
Well, I think they're going to be between 10 and 15. Oh, what do you think of that?
I think anywhere in the 18 to 23 range would be good. So
it'd be a massive improvement.
No, but I think they're very capable of having a, you know, at least, you know, middle of the road defense, you know, in the NFL. So.
But you know, in the Patricia days, like he tried to establish a run, God damn it. And he never did. And the defense was on the field constantly.
I wonder
all the scoring that we did was usually on big plays. And the defense. Right. So even when you have a big play, the defense is out there again for several minutes at a time. So especially when you're playing bend don't break defense. So
right. Do you think Patricia was just like constantly running LeGarrette Blount and Adrian Peterson, and just like, I just don't get it. These guys were good. Why isn't this working?
I don't know.
Nobody knows. Nobody.
I just
knows.
Don't think we're gonna run an old guy at running back, so that'll help.
That will help.
So let's go on really quick to the last part. That is special team. So you have the punter, Jack Fox. Currently no competition
lock.
For him.
Absolutely.
Then you have the place kicker, Randy Bullock and Matthew Wright. I would say Randy Bullock would be a lock just based on.
I'm not saying any lock here. I don't think any lock at kicker right now. Bullock's got the experience, and he's definitely the favorite. But I'm not predicting a lock here.
I could see us signing a guy at some point. That's how sure I am. I don't think either of these guys are sure things.
Yeah, but
I'm
guess
going
that's
with Bullock because he's shorter.
And he's a veteran. He's been around for a while kicking.
Yeah.
Matthew Wright's the undrafted rookie. It'll be weird without Prater there, though. He got us out of a lot of tough spots. I know he didn't have a great year last year, but still, when it came to a clutch kick in the fourth quarter, he drilled it almost every time.
Yeah, I'm going to miss the guy. Yeah, I'm going to miss him. I like too. Him.
It's too bad because it's not like his kick mattered much last year anyway.
But the most important prediction is Muehlbach going to be on the team.
Right.
Yeah. That's an obvious answer. Yes, of course.
Well, hold on now.
He is a long snapper from Notre Dame.
This coaching staff might realize that he's the last guy that was on the team with Bobby Lane, and the curse is still going on. And if someone actually realizes that, they might.
He's actually a vampire.
They might get him off.
He's been around for 100 years. They might.
Right. So wait, just a quick yes or no. Does Muehlbach make the roster? Yes or no?
Yes.
UJ? Yes. I think he does.
In way too early prediction.
I'll say
absolutely.
Yes too. I'll say yes too.
Right. Death taxes and Don Muehlbach, baby.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So we just went through the whole roster there making our way too early predictions. And we are at about the 50-minute mark here, so I think that's a good for late June to wrap it up here.
Hey, can I just add something, Z? Can I just add something?
Wait, yeah, go ahead. I guess
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, bud.
No,
but
I just
want to say for you Lions fans, these are the slow times right now, and it's tough being a Lions fan. You know, we're pulling up all kinds of websites, glint of news here or there. Just. I'd say right now, pull up anything you can on Dan Campbell on YouTube and everywhere else. It's very fun to watch. I think this guy is just going to be, he's just going to add so much life.
Did
to
you like
team.
Him in
so,
the motorcycle helmet, UJ?
Yeah, I loved it. I love
the
it
racing
all,
helmet. One of the two.
This guy, I'm just telling you, there's a lot of entertaining stuff out there. You know, he's not popular with everybody. Some people don't like him too much, but I think he's going to add a lot of animation to this team. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And, of course, tune in to watch us or listen to us.
Well, of course. That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying, just, if you're looking for something, anything to, get your Lions fix, go on YouTube, look for Dan Campbell stuff. A lot of fun.
Absolutely.
That's all.
So, Lions fans, thank you very much for listening to us in the middle of June here. We appreciate it greatly. We know you're listening because you can't wait for this upcoming season like us. So
we just can't wait.
We want to thank you very much for listening. Instagram, Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Twitter, at Drinking Lions. Please subscribe to this podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We'd really appreciate that. And please leave a review. We really appreciate that. Positive or negative, whatever you're feeling. But we really appreciate the review nonetheless because we take it and we try to make it better. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least, as always, go Lions!
Yes.
Woo-hoo!
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain. Hello. victory.
Go. Go.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.